come up afterwards. I need y'all paying attention, right? Right, kids? Come on, talk back to me here. I want you sitting there good. I want you listening. I don't want you fidgeting. I don't want you making noise. I don't want you talking to people. I want you to sit there like a good boy and a good girl, okay? And I know that you can do it because we got awesome kids around here. And I want y'all, listen to me now, look at me, take notes today. What do I mean by that? Well, if you don't know how to read or write yet, I want you to draw a picture of something you hear Pastor Mike say this morning. And if you can read or write, I want you to write some things down, write some verses, write some things down that I said. You don't have to write everything down word for word. Just take some notes and at the end, bring them up to me. We'll check them out and we'll give you a blessing, okay? Can everyone do that? All the kids, can you do it? Okay, I can't hear you. Can you do it? That is so weak. Come on. Let's blow some eardrums around here. Can you do it? Okay, praise God. Awesome. Glory to God. So we're all ready now. Adults, can you do it? All right. Don't make me punish you. We'll put you through the spanking line. We'll do it. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Before you pray, actually turn to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. So excited for this service today. You know, well, I'll just pray first, then kind of share with you how God's been dealing with me about this service. But Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Father, we're just so honored to be in your presence today and just privileged to be here. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've already given to us in this service. Father, you're faithful. Lord, you've never left us and never will. Never leave us nor forsake us. Father, you changeth not. You're ready, willing, and able to help us right where we're at. Maybe we need to yield to you more. Maybe we need to submit to you more. Maybe we need to cooperate with you more. But Father, the problem's not on your end. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And Father, we know about you. We know about your ways. We know how to cooperate with you through your precious word. Now, Father, as we get into the word this morning, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you that I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Boldness and utterance will flow from me this morning. Bullseyes in people's hearts will be hit. Lives will be transformed. Destinies will be overturned. Things will go forth this morning that will set people on a new course, a new path, a new beginning, a new hope for them. So, Father, we thank you for all that we're about to receive. We give you the praise and you the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we just finished up our series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost last week. And I'm so thrilled, you know, we had 6 people in that series receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And, you know, I also know in my spirit, too, that not 100% of the people in the church are filled and walking in that revelation. And I just encourage you, we may have stopped that series, but it's available to you anytime. And it doesn't have to be in front of the whole church. It can be where you call. We could do it over the phone. I've gotten people filled over the phone before. We can have a meeting and go into my office in private, and I can help you get that gift. But my encouragement is, don't leave it at the pulpit last week. And you don't encounter it again until I talk about it again or preach on it again, because it's a gift that God wants for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, we're done. We're not going into a new series, but this is a single message, standalone message that, I'll just say it this way, since October in my tree stand, you know, I spent a lot of time in my tree stand, and I don't know how many, maybe deer I've messed up or screwed up, because I just get my phone out and Bible, or I'll put one headphone in and turn it down real low and just listen to Brother Hagin while I'm hunting, you know, and I have been all hunting season, when I spent time in the tree stand, I was meditating on Romans 4, 17 through 21. Romans 4, 17 through 21. Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And I knew, we talk about Abraham a lot. And I knew all the way back in October that there was a message. The way the Lord seems to deal with me is he puts things on my radar. And there's bullseye on that radar, but then there's things that are on the outer and things that are closer. And that message at that time, I knew it was kind of circulating outside the radar of my spiritual radar. And I knew it wasn't time to have that message, but today's the time. Praise God. And so I'm excited to share it with you, because there's so much that we can learn and apply to our own lives that will bring such great blessing to you. So are you ready to receive?
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. And I love how God does this. You know, we spent 5 weeks talking about a certain subject, and God brings us right back to faith.
Amen.
Right back to faith when it's over. But Romans 4, 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So this story is talking about God when he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, which in the Hebrew meant father of many nations. So he said, I've made you a father. And how do I do it? I call those things which be not as though they are. That's why when we were up there exhorting during worship, we've been set free. And you might say, well, I don't feel very free. Well, the truth isn't based on your feelings. My finances, my calculator doesn't tell me I'm very free financially. You don't go by your calculator. That's not the determining factor of you're free or not.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't feel free in my body, you might say. I got symptoms. Doctors are saying this. It's not about how you feel in your symptoms and what the doctors say, whether it determines you're free. I feel depressed. I feel, well, great, but you're still free.
Yeah.
And you need to do what God does. Be an imitator of him. What? Call those things which be not as though they are. I'm free.
Yeah.
My finances are free.
Yeah.
My body's free. My mind and emotions are free, praise
yeah.
God.
Amen.
See, the people that wait for the manifestation are the ones that wait for a very long time, because that's not faith. And the Bible says God does things different. We're called to imitate him. We call those things which be not as though they were. So yeah, it might be not in the natural that you're free financially. And it might be not in the natural that you're physically not free. And it might be not in the natural that your mind is not a mess and all these things. And you're in bondage and worry and fear and torment and anxiety and oppression. But God doesn't look at what is. He looks at what's going to be and what belongs to you through his word. And so we start calling those things which be not. Stop calling it the way that it is. A lot of people are calling it the way it is. That's not how God operates. I'm so sick. I feel so yucky. I feel so bad. My body's so hurting. I'm so broke. We never have enough. We can't pay our bills. Stop calling it the way it is.
Amen.
Why don't you start doing like God and say, I'm free.
Yes.
I'm rich. Glory to God. I'm delivered. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so then it says, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And we know God did perform it. And they had the baby, didn't they? Hallelujah. And I love this story to apply it to our own lives for a few reasons. Number one, it was a real-life person that faced a real-life, impossible, incurable, no chance in the world of it happening situation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I mean, science said no. Biology, all that stuff said no, right? Nature said no. The natural said no. Opinion said no. History said no. Right? But yet it happened. And the Bible gives us clues, and the Bible gives us steps or pictures into what happened, how it happened, and how we can apply it to our own lives. Amen. Because some of us have been, are in, or will encounter the same kind of things. It might not be in the baby-making arena. It may be. But it may not be. It may be in the financial arena. Looks impossible. Nothing on the horizon to help us get through this. Bills outweigh the income, right? Some of us, it might be things with our kids. It's impossible. It's the way it's always been. Can't seem to have breakthrough there. Some of us, it may be things in our body, right? Doctors use terms like, what? Incurable. Doctors use terms like, going to be on this medication for the rest of your life. Going to have to deal with this forever. There's no hope. We don't have any medicine. We have nothing that can change this diagnosis. Right? Some of us, it might be, struggle with things for years and years and years. And because of the calendar, has built up such a rapport against us that we are convinced in our mind it's never going to change. Right? Well, Abraham faced a situation like that. Do you want to know how to get out of your situations like that? Or do you want to stay in them for the rest of your life? Because remember what God did for one. He'll do for all. Praise God. And we can take this situation, apply it to us. And here's what I love about it. It's not hard. And you're going to see that Abraham was just as real as you and I were and are. Amen? In the way that we behave and act and think at times. And so I want to show you five things that we can learn from the situation. This has been stirring in me, marinating. Oh, man. I wish that I could marinate venison chops from October to now without having them be bad when I take them out of the bag and marinate them in. Can you imagine how good they'd be if they didn't go bad? So just imagine how good this sermon's going to be. It's just been marinating for all that time, and it's not going to come out gross and make you sick, praise God. I love it. Hallelujah. So anyways, are you ready? Number one, go to Matthew 19:26. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God. Everybody say this next two words with me. All things. Say it again. All things. Say it again.
All things.
Why am I getting that for you to say it to get ingrained into you? Because that which you're facing is nothing more than an all thing.
Amen.
With God, with men, what you're facing, it may be impossible. Men may have told you, there's no chance, there's no hope. You can imagine what they said to Abraham when they're getting their nursery ready, going to the store and buying the diapers. What are you doing, Sarah? Getting ready for my baby. Say what? You're 90. Men say it's impossible. But with God, all things. You know what this was with Abraham? Just an all thing. You need to see your thing that you're dealing with through the eyes of your father. And he just looks at it, all thing. All things are what? Possible. See, what happens when we face the incurable, when we face the no hope situations, no natural way out, things that are impossible, we get afraid. Because our minds aren't renewed to the word. Let me just say it this way. If it was possible, you wouldn't need God's help. If you could do it, or someone else could, you don't need him. You don't need him. This is the very arena that he thrives in and shows up in. When it gets impossible, incurable, desperate, discouragement tries to set in, no hope, that's when we should lift our eyes and start rejoicing, because that's when he comes walking in. Says, I got this. My arena here. Men say that, but I say it's possible. Glory to God. It turns everything around. Praise God. Holy cow, who cares what men say? Men are not our final answer. Documents on paper, blood tests, x-rays, MRIs, calculators, financial reports are not our final answer. Amen. And when those things don't line up, he comes parading in with all his power, saying, let's move this aside and let me show them how it's done. Praise God. That's why you need to look at it. Praise God. God didn't care in Abraham's situation that it was physically impossible, biologically impossible. Science, history, everything said it's impossible. God said, that means nothing to me. Because with me, science doesn't matter. With me, gravity doesn't matter. With me, whatever. I'm the God that stopped the sun and the moon for a whole day so my people would be delivered. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So right now in your situation or the situations to come that you have no way to get out of, don't be discouraged about that. Be excited that they're using words like incurable. Be excited that they're using words like impossible. Be excited when there's no hope. That's the time to rejoice. That's the time to dance. That's the time to shout, because that's the time God's coming. Woo-hoo! Praise God. It's true. Praise God. Yeah, renew your mind to that. Hallelujah. That was a good point for number one. That's a good start. That's a good start. Are you ready? Number two. This will help us right here. We look at big bad Abraham, fully persuaded, considered not his own body, now dead and being 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Fully persuaded, no wavering at all. Nah. He got to that point, but that's not the point that Abraham was always at. Ladies and gentlemen, we think, wow, if I could only be like Abraham. Oh, trust me, a lot of us are really like Abraham. How? What am I talking about? Well, go to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. Mr. Faith Man, Abraham. A stalwart. Can't move him. He never had a moment of doubt. Or questioning whether it was true or could happen or not. Oh yeah? We better look a little closer. Genesis 17, verse 17, God's talking to him, and after God got done talking to him, look what happened in verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. What's God doing, a stand-up routine? Is that what happened? No. You read the verses before, what happened? God just told him, your wife's having a baby. You know what Abraham's response was? Darn right she is. If that's what you said, praise God, that's right. Fully persuaded, Father, no. He fell on his face and laughed. And what did he say? In his heart, shall a child be born unto the one that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, 90 years old, bear? Yeah, right, God. What is this? Doubting Abraham. What about, we won't take time to turn there, what about when they get Hagar? The younger woman. God says, you're going to have a child. She said, well, we can't, this ain't naturally happening between you and I, honey. We've got to figure something else out. They got in their head, did things their own way, weren't convinced of God's impossible making happen power. So they bring in the younger woman, right? Have a baby with her, Ishmael, and what? There's fallout from it. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. And God says, that's not how it's going to happen either. But what's that a sign of? Doubt. He said, you're going to have one with Sarah. But they went out and did something else. That's doubt. Well, you read also in there, Sarah also fell on her face and laughed at God. Fully persuaded. Big, tough guy, Abraham. You want to look into my life? Big, bad Pastor Mike, $2,000 a month, short for 2 years. Man, if I could just be like him. Yeah, well, when I first found out I was going to be $2,000 short, she bawled her eyes out and I wanted to. It's the truth. I sat there and begged my pastor for a salary. Why? Mr. Faith Guy. It's the truth. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to show you all we all been there. Went home and just spoke to that mountain. No. Went home and cried at the base of that mountain. Worried at the base of that mountain. Got a baby on the way, Lord. What am I going to do? That's not faith words, just so you know. But you hear $2,000 short, and he spoke every day and feeding Caleb and in that rocking chair, and that came every month. Well, that's not how it started. That's not how it started. What am I telling you? Right now, that thing you're believing God for, if you've been nothing but a doubting Thomas, scoffed at it happening, today's your day to get on the faith train. It's not too late for you. God's not holding, he didn't hold it against Abraham, he didn't hold it against me. God is a now God. God is a mercies are new every morning God. Yeah, up until now, every morning you might have doubted and doubted and doubted, but God says this morning, on February 23rd, 2020, it's time for you to get on the faith train if you want to. Amen. 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 I'm just telling you the truth. And there's things that have come against me, doctor's reports, that at first take you back. You start imagining things, not just get right in the Word, and that's the way we should do it. But I'm just telling you the truth of my own situations. Imagining my kids not being raised by me. Imagine me being gone and not being able to pastor church. These thoughts come, and you sit there and you take them, and not being able to do the Word, you doubt. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? But then you grab yourself by the back of the neck, and you shake yourself a little bit. Say, what are you doing? This is not how God's going to be on the scene. Amen. But what's my point? Yeah, you might have doubted up till now, but so what? Abraham had a moment of doubt up until a certain point, and then he changed. Amen. Pastor Bikes had moments of doubt, but then he changed, and then faith works. So don't beat yourself up. Just tell the lying devil to stuff it. Just tell him to stuff it. Tell him to shut his mouth. He wants to make you think because you've doubted all the way up until now that it can't come to pass. Abraham doubted all the way up until the point he didn't anymore. What's today supposed to do? Get you not doubting anymore. This is the last place we doubt right now. Because I'm going to show you in the Word, in the next 3 points, how Abraham got it, and I'm going to show you how we can get it. And it's so simple. So God's the God of the impossible, and Abraham wasn't Mr. Big Tough Guy, neither was your pastor. Amen? And you know you weren't either at times. Things have rocked you and shaked you, made you sad and nervous and anxious and worried. So what? Not anymore, they don't. From this point, we're going forward the right way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Romans 4 and verse 18. It helps me to know that Abraham was the way he was. Just the same way that the Bible talks about Elisha, that he was just a man. Right? Didn't mention him being a prophet. Didn't mention him being some mighty man of God. Just said he's just a man like us, but yet he prayed and moved mountains. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 4:18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now are you ready for number one? You want to get out of your problem? You want to get out of your future problem that's impossible? This is how you're going to do it. Number one, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. The turnaround started when Abraham got a word on his situation. Number one, get a word on your situation. What was the word? Well, you can't, as a 9,900-year-old man, believe for a baby. And when you're 90, as a woman whose womb is dead, the Bible said, you can't just assume you can have a baby. But if God says you can have a baby when you're 90 and 100, that changes everything. Right? You might be facing things that doctors say there's no medicine for. There's no cure for this. You will suffer with this. We'll give you things that can diminish the symptoms a little bit and keep you comfortable as much as we can. But you might be facing things that naturally, factually, medically are impossible. But if you can find that God said something about that, it gives you permission to think and believe from a different plane. The calculator may say something. The income may say something. The bills may factually tell you you don't have enough every month. But if God's word tells you that you can have something different in spite of the bills, the income, and the bank account, then you have permission to think and believe on a different plane. Amen. Number one, get a word on it. The word gives you permission to believe the crazy. Okay? The word gives you permission to believe and be sold out to the impossible. Amen? Go to 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. The word gives you permission to believe the crazy. See, one thing my kids have learned about me is when I say something, it's coming to pass. We've done things before where we have surprises for them, whether it's a trip, a vacation, even so much as going down to their grandparents, they just love that so much, where we wait until the moment it's happening to tell them. And the reason is because he won't sleep if we don't, and she won't stop talking about it if we don't. The truth. I remember one time, it was after church service, you know, my truck, you know, we brought my truck to church as a family and stuffed all the suitcases in the back of my truck so they didn't have a clue. And said, ah, we got to go to Buffalo after church. You know, well, we were going to Buffalo to hop on a plane to go to Florida. And they had no idea, and we changed, you know, and pulled over. I think it was in Silver Creek. They have McDonald's there, right? Silver Creek, yeah. And turned around and said to them, we're going to Buffalo to go get on a plane. We're going on vacation. You should see in their eyeballs. I mean, they didn't know anything until that moment, but here's my point. They know Dad wouldn't mess around with them like that. I said something to them that was crazy to them, that seemed impossible. They're going to school tomorrow, for all they know. It's not even vacation time. We're pulling them out of school. It's even better. And Dad says something. We're going to Florida. My word gave them the permission to believe the crazy. The natural didn't point to that. Everything in their life didn't point to that, but Dad's word did. And they took me at my word, and they hooped and hollered in the back seat, you know, and we hopped on a plane. And that night, we woke up in New York and went to bed in Florida. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm saying this, but someone needs to hear this. It comes up on our heart as a word of knowledge. There were times that we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And the thought of even taking our kids to the mall to get a pretzel from Auntie Anne's was something we couldn't do. But in those times, you know what I would say? I'm debt-free, and I will take my family on vacations. And my kids will get to go places and do things. If you're here this morning and you hear that and you think, that's an impossibility, that'll never happen to me, only if you limit yourself, you'll have what you say. And God wants you and your family blessed. It might not be naturally possible right now, but faith will make it happen. Because I remember driving by the dealership, seeing friends and family and different people driving nice vehicles, and I could throw snowballs through my truck. That's how rusty it was. And I'm just one of these people, I don't accept what the natural gives me. I'm not going to have to live with the hand that was dealt me. And I'd drive by those dealerships, and I'd look at the fanciest, most expensive truck, and I'd point at it. And I'd say, all that is a hunk of metal on four pieces of rubber. That's all it is. I would dumb it down. I don't need to know all the navigation and the price and stuff. It's just metal on rubber. And God, you're bigger than that, and I think someday I'll have a nice vehicle. Someday I'll take my family on vacation. But there were times, as a believer, where it wasn't naturally possible, but faith made it happen. You do with that what you will. But when I told them, it gave them permission. Why do we need His word? His word is everything. This is the confidence, verse 14, that we have in Him. How many of you know faith is confidence? Abraham and Sarah can't walk around, chest puffed out, we're having a baby, if they don't have a word from God on it. How could you? Science would be in your ear. The devil would be in your ear. Thoughts would be in your ear. History would be in your ear. Precedent would be in your ear. Right? You have no confidence. How can you have confidence to be healed when somebody who spent 10 years in school is a million times smarter than me, can show me on paper, can show me in the numbers that I have something and there's no hope for it? How can you have confidence on your own? You can't. If the numbers bear out and you keep hitting plus and minus, it keeps coming out the same, you keep looking at your paycheck and it's not growing when you look at it. And you keep looking at your bank statements and they're not growing. How can you have confidence for more on your own? You can't. But this is the confidence. We don't have to have confidence in that stuff. This is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask, or you could say desire or need anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, what's the big deal if He hears us? Verse 15 is a big deal. If we know He hears us, we know we have what we ask for. Well, what's the determining factor on whether we have or whether He hears us? Is it His will? What am I trying to say? Is there a word on it? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a word on your healing. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a word on your finances. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a word on your children turning out right. I don't care what the world says. Well, you just never know. No, I know. I got word on it. Don't listen to that garbage. Yeah, but so-and-so had their kid in church. I don't care what so-and-so did. I don't know what they did behind closed doors. You think because people are Christians in church that behind closed doors, they're living it? Please. The true test is doing the word, not being here and looking the part. Some of the things that parents subject their children to and let them watch, and how dishonorable they let them be. Oh yeah, those are seeds that will turn into harvest. I don't care that they were between the walls. And just because you saw somebody that seemed so faithful in this, who gives a flutie-tootie? I have promised that if I'll raise my kids in the Word, great will be their peace, and they'll not depart when they're older. Amen. It's a truth, praise God. Praise God. Got to have a word on it. Got to have a word on it. You single folk. Well, I'm going to be lonely the rest of my life. That ain't what the Bible says. Amen. Good thing you didn't believe the doctors, Heather. Jake, good thing you guys didn't just say, doctors say we can't have a baby. Yeah. Well, you got two of them. They both hugged me this morning. It blessed me. Praise God. Tried to talk Hope into being the next worship leader, but she didn't seem to want to do anything to do with that guitar. I said, here, strum this thing. And she turned the other way, went the other way. So she must just going to be a singer. Praise God. We're just waiting for Joey. Joey, come on. Joey's taking guitar lessons. We need you, buddy. Come on. Pick it up, kid. Pick it up. We need you to take over for me. Glory to God. You need a word on these things. And something that maybe isn't scriptural. Why don't you talk to him about it? Lord, what do you say about that? And if he gives you the green light, that's your word. That's your word. Praise God. Get a word on it. Number one, Abraham had a word on it. What? So shall your seed be. There's a son coming. Okay. But we know he first heard that and didn't accept that, did he? He laughed about it. So what did Abraham do? Number four, so number one, who cares about the impossible? Number two, he wasn't a solid rock from the beginning. Number three, get a word. Number four, like we've been looking at the last two Wednesdays, become one with that word. It's not enough that the Bible says you can be healed. There's a lot of unhealed Christians. It's not enough that the Bible says you can be blessed. There's a lot of unblessed Christians. But what did Jesus say in John 8:32? If you know the truth will make you free. We've looked at that. For those of you who haven't been here, you need to listen to the last two Wednesdays. Because people say, well, I've quoted Scripture. I'm not free. It ain't about quoting Scripture. It's about becoming one with the Word. What's it mean to become one with the Word? To be so intimately acquainted with the Word, you become one with it. When he says, if you'll know the truth, for those that weren't here, you know that word know? It's the same word that Mary used in the Greek when she said, how can I have a child? I've not known a man. Right. She's not talking about knowing a name of a man. She's talking about what husbands and wives do to bring children, knowing a man. She said, I haven't known a man. She said, well, that's how I'm supposed to know the word? Yes, because God looks at a husband and wife as one when they know each other, not separate, one. He says, I want you to know the word like that. I want you to become one with the word. What does that mean? If the word says you're healed, you became one with it. You're healed. That's what you accept. If the word says you're rich, you became one with it. That's what you are, regardless of the outward. Abraham had to become one with that word, didn't he? Go back to Romans 4. Praise God. We know he ended up becoming one with it, didn't he? How do we know? Because the Bible says in Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith. Well, we know he at one point was weak in faith, and the word didn't change. No, do you understand what I'm saying? The word didn't change. When he was weak in faith, God still told him, you're having a son. When he was not weak, when he wasn't weak in faith anymore, the word didn't change. What changed was Abraham with the word. He told him, you're having a son. And Abraham said, no, I'm more one with science, with nature, with history, with my body, with my wife's womb, with what the world says. And then finally he started to what? Become one with the word, accept what God says as reality, and said, doesn't matter what my body says, doesn't matter what my wife's womb says, doesn't matter what science and history or people say, God said it, I'm one with what he said. That's how you get set free.
Amen.
See, some of you are waiting for the manifestation of your healing to be free. The manifestation of freedom comes before the manifestation in the natural. When you become one with it and renew your mind to it. Praise God. Well, he did, because it says, and being not weak in faith. So something changed. What changed? He considered not his body. Well, that's the only thing he was considering before when he was weak in faith. We can't do this because of my body. Now 100 years old, when he's about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Didn't consider that anymore. When before he was like, her womb's dead, we can't have a baby. He was more one with the symptoms. Well, he became one with the word. Glory to God. Well, how do you become one with the word? Go with me to Mark 11, verse 23, real quick. Mark 11, 23. We got quite the smorgasbord, right, Daddy? Yeah. Sometimes when you're flipping pages, I'm thinking about food. That's how spiritual I am. What is it, like mac and cheese and... I mean, we have it good around here. Amen? We have it good around here. Mark 11, 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. Remember the service I preached on a few Wednesdays ago called Spirit Words Change the Natural? How does Jesus say that the mountain's going to move? It's talking to it. If you're not talking to things, you don't want things removed. If you're not talking to things, you don't want things to come into your life, because Jesus said that's the only way they're coming. The only way the mountain's going and the only way the good things are coming is if you talk, because you'll have what you say. But what we have is a lot of Christians running their yap and shooting blanks at the mountain. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? The Bible doesn't say, therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, skip the next lines, he'll have whatever he says. No. He didn't say words alone will move mountains. He said faith words move mountains. Faith words shall not doubt, but shall believe what he's saying. Faith words. Faith words. We know the sickness we're dealing with, the poverty we're dealing with, the things in our children, the things in our lives, in our jobs, the way they're going to change is through our confession. Yes. But people are just finding scriptures because in our minds and flesh, we're doing something. Confess it 10 times a day. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. You can say that all you want. I use this example. I love all things Navy SEALs. I'm very impressed with human beings that would, on purpose, put themselves through something called Hell Week. That's impressive. That will subject themselves to the freezing cold temperatures of the Pacific Ocean and no food and, you know, being kept awake and tortured, and the majority of them drop out, which thank God that we have people like that, because those are the people that go to the nastiest, darkest, dirtiest places, do things to keep us safe over here that we'll never hear about and they'll never get accolades for, and they sign up for that. So I'm impressed with those people. Amen? But one thing about a Navy SEAL, they are the baddest of the bad. They are the trained of the trained. I mean, they know what to do in the scariest and the hairiest of situations. But when they join the military, they don't come in as Navy SEALs. They come in as fresh-eyed recruits that went to the recruiting office and then go just a regular Navy boot camp. And then from there, they progress to different trainings and then can do SEAL training and then do all their training. And then they're put in the scariest situations. Why? So when it's time to fire and act, they're prepped and ready to go. How many of you know we could take any one of us, any kid that graduated high school, take him with a Navy SEAL, put the same equipment on him, give him the same weapon, give him the same bullets. And when it hits the fan, how many of you know, the Navy SEAL, I'm putting my money on him surviving over the other one, even though the other one has the ability to fire. And all the same gear. Why? No preparation. And we have a lot of people yapping at their mountain and didn't take time to prep. What's the prep time? Verse 22. Verse 22, please. See, verse 23 didn't happen before verse 22. What did he say? First thing you need to do before you open your mouth is have faith. Yeah. Have faith. Have faith. What's he saying? Before you even open your mouth to speak to it, you better be believing. Because why? Your words are just blanks. Little Nerf darts hit that mountain. Not going to do very much. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Well, what Pastor Mike say? Abraham became one with that word. How did he become one with that word? Before he started, got to a place of faith, which is our next point of opening our mouth and what he was doing. How did he get there? God kept repeating it to him over and over. You're having a son. You're having a son. You're having a son. You're having a son. Abraham kept thinking it over and over. God said, we're having a son. God said, we're having a son. What did he do? Became one with the word. What did he do? Verse 22. See, we want to get our confessions against our sickness and our confessions out against our situation because we think Jesus said we'll have what we say, but he didn't just say you'll have what you say. He said you'll have the faith words that you say. Well, faith words don't just automatically come out. There's a prep time. Amen. What's the prep time? Romans 10, 17. Glory to God. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh. Well, what's the first thing? Have faith. How does it come? By hearing and hearing. I better get up here for this one. Does the Bible here say faith comes by having heard it one time?
No.
I heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne say this. That's so true. She said she heard a minister say that faith has a shelf life. Your bread has a shelf life, right? Marinated chops, they have a shelf life. Faith has a shelf. Wait, faith has a shelf life? Oh yeah, let me give you an example. You believed God for your healing 10 years ago. You built up your faith in your healing, and you released it, and you got your manifestation. 10 years later, something impossible comes your way. If you're not doing what the Word says, you don't have faith. What's it say? Hearing and hearing. What does that mean? Constantly. A consistency. Well, I heard 10 years ago, faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith has a shelf life. Faith comes by hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. If you're not hearing and hearing the word, I'm sorry to tell you, your faith tank is really low. Why? The only way faith comes is by hearing and 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 hearing. Well, I heard it. I heard you preach a faith message a year ago, Pastor Mike. I'm good. No, you're not. You don't have faith. Faith only comes by hearing, 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 and hearing. Amen.
Amen.
What did Abraham have to do to become one with that word? I won't be a son. I won't be a son. God said I won't be a son. Do you hear that, Sarah? God said we're going to be parents. Heard it over and 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 over again. Praise God. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Praise God. You heard about my testimony. How I started out in doubt and unbelief. And worry and fear financially. And I did. But then I went through the steps and I got a word on it. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all my needs. Okay. So Father, you say to supply my needs according to your riches and glory. That's my permission to believe the crazy. Because you told me not to work. In the sense of going out and getting a 9-to-5 job. I was working. Pastor of the church taking care of Caleb. I was doing two jobs. But they weren't paying me anything. And so I got a word. Philippians 4:19. But just because you got a word doesn't mean you have faith. You got to become one with that word. So what did Pastor Mike do? You know, when I used to play wiffle ball in my backyard, my stepdad, who was so meticulous with his yard, used to get so mad at Pastor Tim and I because at home plate in the pitcher's mound, we'd just dig in that ground. Mark there, and oh, he'd get so mad at us. So we'd have to kind of move over every different game, you know, to try not to wear it out. My Bible was wore out with tracks in Philippians 4:19. What does the Bible say? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, Joshua 1:8. But you shall meditate therein day and night to do observe according to do all that's written therein. For then shall your way be made prosperous, then you'll have good success. Blessed are they, Psalms 1, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he does meditate day and night. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, daughters included, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So I went to Philippians 4:19. You should go there with me too. Philippians 4:19. And I wore it out. And I heard. And I heard. And I heard, my God shall supply. And I just kept going, my God shall supply. My God shall supply. And faith rose up that my God wants to supply for me. And then I went further. All your need. Wow. Even when it looks impossible, He wants to supply all my need. Every single one of my needs. And I just kept hearing it and hearing it. I did 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, which was what? I gave heed unto the word of God like a light that shines in a dark place until the day star arose in my heart. I did Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing till something was birthed in me. Faith. And then I got faith for, He wants to supply all my need. But then I got nervous and thought, oh boy, Lord, how are you going to do this? I don't have a paycheck. Our bills outweigh what we have coming in. And then I read further. I said, wow. He said He'd do it according to His riches. I thought, my goodness. And I kept repeating it. Oh my God, wants to supply all my needs according to His riches. That doesn't matter about my paycheck. And I heard that. And I heard that. And I heard that. And it didn't matter that I got zero. According to His riches and glory, by or through Christ Jesus. And what did I do? I Joshua 1:8ed that verse. I Proverbs 4:20ed that verse. I Psalms 1 and verse 1 through 3 that verse. Day and night, just wore it out. Wore it out. Till what? I became one with it. And I went from a place of fear and worry and tears and what am I going to do to a place of yes. It's day 31 on the calendar. Flip it over to whatever month, number one day. And now we're back again facing $2,000 short a month. Yippee! I'm excited about this. Why? Because it doesn't matter that I don't have any money. It doesn't matter that I don't have a paycheck. I'm one with the Word. Abraham said, I don't care that my body and Sarah's body and science and precedent and history, I got a word on it and I believe God's word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I did. That's what I did. That's what I went from doubting to fully persuaded. Amen. That's how you do it. We just skim over it. You know why? We don't want it bad enough. We don't want it bad enough. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be tormented. I don't want to be oppressed. I want freedom for my life. So you know how I'm going to get freedom? I'm going to know the Word. I'm going to know the Word until it rises up in me. And then when I open my mouth and I fire at that mountain, it's like an RPG hitting that thing. A cannonball hitting that thing. Ain't little dead words that people speak. Just because I'm getting a confession out, big deal. They're not faith words. How do you get faith words? Hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. Till something rises up. Till you step over the divide of doubt into belief where you know that you know. Yeah. Abraham had to step over. Pastor Mike had to step over. You might have to step over. Praise God. Last but not least, go to verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. We'll close here. I am so fired up for God's word. The impossible excites me. See, everybody thinks, you're a pastor, you don't face anything. It's actually the opposite. All the prophecies, everything that's been spoke, you don't think there's a target? Just because you don't see me a-weeping and a-wailing and a-doubting and unbelieving, you just see me get up here and preach faith, and you think, well, there must be nothing wrong in his life. No, it's the opposite. The devil's out to get people. Amen. And just this morning as I was getting ready, I was laughing and dancing and spinning in my bathroom at the impossible things, the incurable things, the no-hope things that are in my life and saying, this is where you are. Let's go. Amen. Let's do it, praise God. You just got to get a little crazy. You just got to get a little crazy. Like me, I'm crazy. Romans 4 and verse 20. Now look at this. He staggered not. So number one, impossible don't matter. Number two, he wasn't a solid rock. Number three, get a word. Number four, become one with that word. How? By hearing and hearing and hearing. Number five, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong or strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. During the waiting period, he did what? Kept his eyes on God and released his faith as he was keeping his eyes on God. Okay? Because how many of you know with faith there's a waiting period? And the Bible says if you faint not, you'll reap, which means during the releasing of the faith to the manifesting, there's going to be a time and space where there's going to be opportunities to faint. How are you going to not faint? You're going to stay strong. How? Giving glory to God. Doing what? Eyes on Him, releasing your faith by giving glory. Say, what do you mean giving glory to God? How is that releasing my faith? Real quick, go to John 4:23. We know what Jesus said in Mark 11:23 about saying to the mountain. So we have New Testament revelation that we're supposed to speak to our mountains. You want your mountain to go? Speak to it. If you're not speaking to it, you don't want it to go. If you need money, call that money in. If you're not calling that money in, you don't want it bad enough. John 4 and verse 23. I'll show you exactly what Abraham was doing. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers... Well, what was Abraham doing giving glory to God? Worshiping God. Why is worship so important? It keeps your eyes on the answer. Worship directs laser vision to your answer. I can't get this point across to people any clearer. When we stand there during worship and the congregation's worshiping and your mouth's closed and your hands on your seat and you're just meddling in your mind about all your problems, and the reason you won't praise God and worship God is because you're so stinking depressed and down about life. It's because you're looking at that stuff. You're focusing in your head nonstop about how bad it is. You're replaying it over and over and over again about all the bad things and how it's going for you, and this is your money and this is my body and this has been happening to me. And the whole time your answer's up there. Yes. And you need to take your eyes off that other junk and put them on your answer and worship Him. Because why? The people that do that are like Abraham. They grow strong in faith. And your faith is what's going to get it done. Not mine, not God's. How do you grow strong in faith? Worshiping God. Worshiping God. And can't get people to do it. Can't get people to do it. Just want God to sprinkle some magic fairy dust on your situation. No, it's your faith. But there's times. You know why you're down? Because life's hard. There's times when the symptoms are so real and hurt your body so bad, and doctors say things, and things are depressing, and things are so off and so backwards. And because we look at it, and naturally they're bad, naturally we would be down and sad about those things. But the way to turn them around is our faith. And because they're so bad, we get tempted to faint. We get tempted to be down and discouraged. That's not how the answer comes. Answer comes through faith. You need to grow strong in your faith during the hell. How do you grow strong in faith? Same way Abraham. Giving glory to God. Eyes on the prize. Praise God. And the Father says the hours come when there'll be true worshipers. And they'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You all know what worshiping Him in truth is? The truth of the word in a sickness is you're healed. You know what true worship looks like? Worshiping Him according to the truth. When your body says yuck and it's hurting and there's pain and the symptoms and it's impossible, true worshipers worship Him according to truth, not facts. Facts are symptoms. Facts are doctor's reports. Truth is the word. And so what do they do? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You. You are my healer. I am the healed of the Lord because I am Your child and it belongs to Me. And I worship You for my healing. That'll strengthen your faith. That's a true worshiper. The Bible says you're supplied for and rich. Everything else factual says no, you're not. But a true worshiper says Jehovah Jireh. Amen. The Lord that provides, El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. You are my provider. You are my supply. I am Your child. And money comes to me and I worship You for being my provider. That's a true worshiper. That's somebody that keeps their faith going strong. Like, we know what Abraham's doing? Father, I thank You so much. I'm 100 years old, but there's a baby coming. Because You're the God of the impossible, and You said it. Thank You for my child, Father. And we can't get people to lift their voice and talk to God. And you wonder why you're weak. And the Bible gives you instructions. Stop trying to get the blessings apart from doing the book. You want to be strengthened in your faith in the middle? Because it's easy to start at the finish line. And it's easy to get the manifestation. When it shows up, that's easy to receive. It's the middle part. Where the hell on earth, where the symptoms go the wrong way, and the money goes the wrong way, and your kids go the wrong way, and all hell breaks loose around you, that's going to be time to waver and wobble and get off that faith train. No, it's then you need to be strong. Well, what do you do during that time? Keep your eyes on Him. Amen. Worship Him according to the truth of the Word of God. And while you're worshiping Him, you're my healer. You know what you're also doing? Mark 11:23. You're saying to the mountain, thank you, Father, I'm healed. You just spoke to that mountain. Praise God. I just gave you. What was it? About an hour worth of a faith message. That will change and transform every single one of your situations. If you'll do what I say. But you know what? We'll show up next time and the same people will be thinking about their bodies and their money and how hard it is. And they'll go home tonight and they'll turn the TV on and just sit there and be mad and stew in it. Okay, fine. I can't make you do the word. I can't make you do the word. And do not mistake my boldness for not being compassionate. The very reason that I'm bold with you is because I want you pulled out of that hell so much. That's why. Do not mistake boldness for not caring. Jesus was as bold as they come. And He told the world, hey Muslims, you're wrong. Hey, Buddhists, you're wrong. That Muhammad Buddha fella, nah. You that worship the sun and the moon and the stars, He wasn't saying that to be mean to those people. He's trying to save them from hell. And so He stood up and said, I'm it. I'm the only way. There's no other way but me. And people say, man, that's really mean. No, that's compassion. That's someone pulling people out of the pit of hell. That's what it is. Yeah, stew around in your doubt and unbelief. I think that'd be good for you. You know, that would be so incompassionate of me to say to you. But to tell you, stop stewing around in that garbage and get your attention on God. Start worshiping Him. It's bold, but it's love. Amen? If I were you, I would listen to this over and over and over and over and then over again and over 5 more times. Praise God. I don't remember a faith message coming out like this. But it's your answer. It's what Abraham, how he got it, it's how you're going to get it too. Amen. Let's worship Him. Father, we praise You and bless You this morning. Father, You're so good to us. We glorify You and magnify You. We praise You, Jesus. And glorify You, Master. Yep. I'll say that. There's still people that just refuse to do it God's way. You love the Lord. Oh yeah, you love the Lord. But refuse to make it a mandatory thing for your children to be under the word of your pastor. Just too many other things going on, too busy. Okay, well, you're going to miss out because you're not doing it God's way. God has blessings for people with money. They just refuse to do it His way. Well, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. There's people that God's talked to you about serving in your heart. Nah. That's other people's job to serve. Well, good thing everybody else didn't have that same mentality or we wouldn't have anything going on in this church. There'd be no nursery, no cleaners, no ushers, no sound people, no worship team, no pastor. Someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. I'll come and receive all the good things, but someone else will do it. It's wrong. And you're missing out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever He says, do it. 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 What's coming up in my spirit? Whatever He says, do it. Whatever He says, do it. Whatever He says, do it. Praise God. That's your answer. Whatever He says, do it. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father, for utterance. We thank You for utterance. And Lord, there's things that we have to adjust and need help walking out. And You're there to help us. And so the pastor's there to help too. I'm willing to help. But these things need to be said. Because the devil's bold. And the devil's bold and lies to people and they keep doing the same wrong things. So someone has to be bold in the right way. And the reason is sometimes we need our cages rattled. To wake us up. To realize. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Your love for God is not going to keep the devil off of you. Because you worship in your car and you live a moral life will not keep the devil off of you. The Bible says if we sinneth not, which means obey God, do what He says, the wicked one touches us not. The only way you can assure yourself of safety is by doing the Word. Well, I love the Lord and I live morally and I teach my kids not to swear and to watch right things on TV. Great, that's wonderful, that's good. But if you're not doing the Word of God, that doesn't keep you safe. Thank you, Father, for utterance today. It's not always easy to be the one delivering it, but it's true. We praise You. We glorify You. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm pretty confident that everyone in this room is born again, has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But if by chance there's someone listening online right now, or if by chance I've made a mistake and overlooked someone in here, you've never received Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. The way to get into heaven, Jesus says, through Me. You've got to receive Jesus. Got to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you can say, I've never received Jesus. Now, if you've already done it, you don't have to do it again. Kids, that includes you. It's a one-time thing. But if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody want to receive Him this morning? Lift your hands high in the air. Anybody? Father, I'm not surprised. I don't see any hands in this room. But if by chance someone's listening now or in the future, I pray they wouldn't pass from this life, but until they make Jesus the Lord of their life, that they would receive Him. And it's easy. You say, how do I do that? You just call on His name. Romans 10:13, call on His name. How do I do that? Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and I believe He rose again and I ask Him to come into my heart. If you'll pray that, He'll save you. He'll become a father to you. And then send me an email, give me a phone call. We'll get you hooked up and what to do next. We praise You, Father. Now we're going to take up communion, brothers. You can serve the people. Bill, go ahead and put that song on if you would. Go ahead, brothers. Come on forward. Now, this is a time of reverence, a time of honor to be remembering what the Lord has done for us. Thank You. Thank You. To remember what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us. It's a reverent, honorable time of worship. Not just sitting there, not saying anything. We need to worship Him for what He's done for us. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship Him for what He's done for me. Oh, Jesus. You turn that up, Bill. Praise You. Jesus, thank You. I stand here redeemed today because of You. Because of Your mercy, Your willingness. The Word says that no man took your life from you. You weren't forced. God didn't force you to do it. The devil didn't force you to do it. The Roman soldiers didn't force you to do it. All the Jews that were shouting against you didn't force you to do it. You laid Your life down for me. Thank You so much. I worship You, Jesus. You are wonderful. You are merciful and You are kind. I'm so glad to know You as Savior. So thankful that You loved me that much. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And Lord, so many good things have come from Your death, burial, and resurrection. So many blessings that we can walk into, eternal life being the greatest. But through You we have righteousness. Through You we have healing. Through You we have prosperity. Through You we have joy and victory and answers and help. Through You we can have a force called faith. Thank You so much. Thank You so much, Jesus. And Father, thank You for Your plan of redemption. It was Your idea. Thank You for loving the world so much You were willing to part with Your one and only Son. Thank You so much. My life before You was a mess. I don't even know if I should be alive. And if I would be alive, I'd be a hurt unit. I'd be in the darkest of the darkest places on earth. I'd be the lowest of the lows. If it wasn't for you, Jesus, I owe my everything to you. This is how I talk to him at home. This is how I talk to him every day. Every night, the kids and I in court, we pray before bed, before the kids go to bed, and we thank Jesus for what we have because of him. Yeah. Strengthened in faith, given glory to you. We praise you, Lord. Magnify you. We glorify you. We worship you. You are wonderful. You are great and mighty. So thankful for you. Just love you. Ever just telling me love him? I love when my kids tell me they love me. I love you. I love you so much. Owe you everything. It's because of you, not because of me. Anything good that comes from me is because of you. Always because of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Could never worship you enough. Could never tell you enough. You're always deserving of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Just thank you so much, Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which has delivered unto you." The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's break it and eat it. Lord, we thank you for the body, the bread that represents the body that was broken for us. By his stripes in his body, we are healed. His body was broken so that ours could be mended. We thank you, Jesus. Come on and thank him for that. It's because of him healing's available. Praise God. Verse 25, after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Remember to me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Let's go ahead and drink it. And Lord, we know that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary for us, for the remission of sins, so that we could be washed and made white as snow. Let's stand up and worship him together. I mean together, let's worship him. We praise you. One heart, one mind, one accord, worshiping the Father. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We bless you this morning. We glorify you. Magnify you. Now, I'm going to say this. I need you to come right up. Lord wants to heal somebody's ear. Any problems in anybody's ear, come on. Holy Ghost just made it known. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come on up and receive. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatever's going on there, he's not instructed me to ask you. But whatever's going on in there, we're believing for full restoration. Complete healing. He thought it was special enough for you to call this out for both of you. Hallelujah. Stop me in my tracks before we dismiss. Father, you are the healer. We worship you as healer right now. And you said if we'd lay hands, they would recover. So in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command healing to come in to that ear or ears. Whatever's out of order, we command it in the name of Jesus to get right. In the name of Jesus, from head to toe, we command healing to come into her here. We thank you. We speak to that right now. We thank you. Let's just wait on him. Come on and worship him. Make sure you both report back to me when the manifestation comes. Glory to God. We worship you, Father. Just keep praising him. We praise you, Lord. Is there anything else, Father? Anything else, Father? Yeah. Yeah, he reminded me of that endowment, that healing gift that Pastor Nancy said would come to me about hearts. Anything heart-related, come up right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. He wouldn't have reminded me if there wasn't an issue. Anything heart-related, come on up, Mary Jo, get it all. Praise God. He must love you, Mary Jo. Praise God. Are you ready to receive? Put your hands up and get ready because it's coming. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, be free. Head to toe, that heart condition. Glory to God. Change coming for you, Mary Jo. Change. And don't be discouraged at the tests. You're important and the devil knows it. And your pastor needs you and your faithfulness. With the mandate of prayer on your life and what that will result in my life, the enemy knows it. So all these tests in your body are meant to discourage you and to keep you out of a place of great supply. So just rejoice, you're healed, praise God. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you for change, Father. Lord, we'll close down if you're ready. Anything else you want to do, Father? Anything else? Anything else, Father? Anything else? Yeah. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion, he said, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy you come under my roof. Just speak the word only. I don't feel led to bring everyone up that has things in your body. But if you have things in your body, Jesus spoke the word and he said, the word will work. Amen. Amen. There's different ways you see in the word of how God ministered healing. Sometimes laid hands, sometimes spoke it. Sometimes, one time he rubbed some mud together with some spit, rubbed it on their eyes. One time he said, go dip in a river. Just whatever the Holy Ghost says. This is what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. If you need healing, close your eyes and lift your hands. Lift your hands. And right now I'm going to speak a healing word over you. And you receive that in your body. In the name of Jesus, we command all that's out of order, all the sickness, all the disease, to be made straight and to be made right. In the name of Jesus, we declare it now. Now receive that in your body. And you say, what's my role from here on out? Thank Him that you're healed. Matthew chapter 8 is your reference to that working. He just spoke the word only. We command a healing over this congregation. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you for it. You're our healer. If you'll worship Him as healer, He'll be your healer. If you'll worship Him as your provider, He'll be your provider. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to eat. We call it blessed to our body. We thank you. You bless our bread and water. You take sickness away from the midst of us. Bless all that prepared it, all that set up and take down, Lord. We love you and praise you. Let's give Him glory in Jesus' name.